Today I'll be talking about the holy calling. God has given us a holy calling. And I've put it there, be holy, be holy. But notice the difference in spelling. Say with me, be holy,
be holy.
Be holy. Okay, if you get that at least, I think you've already got the message. Be holy, be holy. Okay? All right, but we have been called with a holy calling. Next slide, please. I've sort of declared these 4 points at the start of the year. Say with me, number one, great contrast, great restoration, great mountain, greater glory. We're living in days of great contrast. We talked about that even last week as we were talking about, you know, what are we listening to? Public opinion, my personal opinion, my own opinion, my operating in the flesh and blood, or am I hearing the revelation of Jesus Christ? That was last week, right? There's a great contrast going on here at the moment. We're living in the days of that. There's a great restoration in which we are living in. God is restoring His church. And in restoration, He begins with the personal individual. He begins with you and me. You say amen? And together as believers, He is restoring His church. That is the number three, the great mountain. You say amen? The great mountain is speaking of His church. And when He establishes His church, that's where the great glory resides. The temple is to host the glory of the Lord. Do you understand the progression here? From restoration, He's restoring every aspect of the church to establish His church on the highest mountain called Mount Zion because He's filling it with glory, okay? The temple with glory. Now, let me begin with this. I'm talking about the restoration that we are in right now. What is God restoring? What is God? There are many things that God is restoring to the church, but the primary thing right now in this, we can say for this local church and for your life and for my life is holiness, okay? So we'll look at that in a moment. That's the reason why the message is called Holy Calling. But we go to the image of Christ. That is the eternal purpose for which all of us have been called. We have been called to be in the image of God. So in Genesis chapter 1, very popular verse, it says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image, and His own in the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Right? Notice this morning we talked about the God, the Creator God. He created us in the image of God. Everybody say image of God. Now we talk about the image of God. What is God like? We talk about His essential attributes. We talk about who God is. We talk about the moral attributes of who God is. God created us in the image and likeness of God. God is a triune being. We are a triune being. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. God has moral attributes. Say moral attributes. And we are moral beings. Okay? And one of the things that we see, the revelation of who God is what? He is holy. What do they say in the book of Revelation? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I mean, if you look at throughout the Bible, the amount of number of times it talks about the holiness of God, the revelation. God says, be holy, for I am holy. I am the Holy One of Israel. His presence, the Holy of Holies. Okay? Okay, get the idea there? But how do we see this? What is that image? We understand it's the character, and it's fleshed out, or at least it's personified in Christ. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe." Now listen to this. "Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So this gospel, the light of the gospel, this glory of Christ, say with me, is the image of God. So who is the image of God? The glory of Christ. This gospel of the glory of Christ is the image of God. So when I see Christ, so when you say, I am created in the image and likeness of God, okay, I carry His presence, I have His likeness in me. Well, how do people see that? It means they have to see Christ. Now, how do people see Christ? We're going to talk about the practical aspect of it this morning. We know that we are created in the image and likeness of God, but what does that mean to us? What does it mean to be created in the image? What does it mean to have His life in the inside of us? If His life is in us, then it must be also seen. Is that right? So, in other words, we may say this: when people see Christ in us, all right, that's the result. Okay, that's the whole thing, right? To have Christ, to be in the image and likeness of Christ, to have the presence of God in us means people can see Christ in us. And if people see Christ, what do they see? Oh, God. Okay, of course, God. Okay, my point is, I'm bringing you is the moral attribute, holiness. Holiness. People can see holiness. And then now we have to define what holiness is. But before we do that, I just want to read a few verses to see that we were called to be holy. In Ephesians chapter 1, as we know, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a prayer that Paul makes. He said that even after hearing of the faith of the believers, he says, I do not cease to give thanks and praise for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's constantly praying that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of, let me read that, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling. Say His calling. Say His calling. So we need our eyes to understand this call that we have. His calling upon our lives. Does that make sense? So I need to understand that. I need my eyes to constantly be enlightened to see in greater measure what is that call of God. Well, this call didn't mention in earlier verses. It says in chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, Ephesians. Read it with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy. We have a holy calling. Before the foundation of the earth, that was God's idea. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, together with me, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So He chose us that we should be holy and without blame. And here it says that He called us with a holy calling. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Together with me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a great calling out from darkness into His light to be a holy nation. Can you say amen? Say, I have a holy calling. Say, we have a holy calling. Amen. So now we're going to talk about what is holiness, and we've touched on this before. But in a nutshell, let me say this. In the past, we said it like this. Even though next one here, it says, holiness is also the words to sanctify. We talked about being separated from and to be separated unto. Do you remember that? Maybe in the past, somewhere last year, we talked about that once upon a time. Okay? Say with me, separated from. Separated unto. I'm separated from because I'm different. I'm not the same as the common things. God has separated me for a purpose. And then I'm wholly separate. I'm separated unto. Say separated unto. Because God separates us to Himself for a purpose. Amen. But notice that I added the word holy. When God separates us from unto himself is completely for his purpose. It's not like, can you imagine the vessels of the temple or the things that was used in worship for God? All of these were, the Bible says they were sanctified. In other words, they were made holy because they were separated out of the other common things. Let's say if there was a table, all right? That table, among many other tables, now has been separated to be used unto God. But notice, it is completely separated and wholly given for God's service. Can you say amen? So the whole idea is the word, be holy, okay? You get it? Are you getting it? Holy. We are wholly separated. We are wholly unto him, separated unto him. In other words, we are completely separated from the word and we are completely given to him. Can you say that with me? Completely separated, absolutely separated, completely given, absolutely given, wholly given. Amen. You know, I remember one time in my life group, I was just sitting down there and Keith was there with me, next to me, and he looked down at his feet, and I looked down, and he says, "Oh, look, I'm holy." I don't know if you get it, but his socks had holes. So he looked and said, "Oh, I'm holy." I'm like, "I'm holy." I say, "Well, that's pretty good, yeah." We're not talking about holes today, though, even though I bring that as a joke. But we're talking about being holy, being complete. And oftentimes, rather than being complete, a lot of times we actually have a lot of holes. A lot of holes. We are also holy, but not the kind of holy that we want to be. All right? So don't be holy full of holes, but be holy and be completely given to God. Can you say amen? But it's impossible to do that unless God gives us a new heart. So let me verbalize Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Because the very thing that God is looking for at this time is wholeheartedness. Let me start by reading Ezekiel 36 to 26. It says, why don't you read it with me? This is a promise that was given, right? This is Ezekiel. We're together. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute. And you will keep my judgments and do them. So God says, I will, has he? Has he yet? Has he given us a new heart? Yes. New spirit? Yes. Has he taken the heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh? Yes. Has he given us a new heart? Thank you, Jesus. So with this new heart now, it is only out of this new heart, it is only out of this new life that we talk about holiness. And remember the prophetic word, we talk about progressive preparation for God's pure and mature. That's what we mean, holiness. There's purity, there's maturity. Maturity talks about completeness, wholeness, perfect. Okay? So let's now talk about three points that I want to take you through really briefly this morning. And we're talking about the holy calling. We're called to be in the image of God. And one of the things that we see in his moral attribute is his holiness. We're called to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Because people need to see that holiness. We're going to talk about this holiness because we're progressing to this purity and maturity. I'm going to talk of it from a practical aspect. We're not talking about holy, 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 all right? Like, we're not talking about carrying your Bible everywhere you go or making sure you've got a cross necklace or something or wear a Jesus t-shirt and only listening to Christian music and all that stereotype. We're not talking about this kind of holiness. It's probably far from holiness, actually. We're probably more like trying to look holy. But let me talk about three things here. The 3 points, I'll give you the 3 points. Say with me, wholeheartedness or wholehearted, single-hearted, loyal-hearted. All right, that's all I want to say, but let's take it one at a time. The first thing that God, to be holy, is to be wholehearted. And why are we talking about wholehearted is because when God separates us unto Himself, is so that we are completely, as I said earlier, separated from sin, separated from the world, separated from darkness, to be completely given to Him. Not half of our lives, not a little bit of us, but to be completely, all of us. In other words, wholeheartedness. So holiness, when you think about holiness, yes, separation from, separation unto, but it has to be completely separated and completely given to Him. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely holy, wholehearted. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 15. We usually quote verse 11, but let's start from verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart," search for me with all your heart, following me, "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried captive." Now, think with me for a moment, just briefly here. Understand that this is a prophetic word that is given to a people that has been taken captives away from their homeland to a place called Babylon, and the period of time is 70 years. And in this context, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you. They're not evil, they are good. I have a future and a hope for you." But look at it. What did He say He's going to do? "I'm going to cause you to" what? "To return to this place." Previous slide. He says, "I will cause you to return." Say return. I want you to return to this place, because in this place, I want you to do something. You will call, number one is, you will call upon, all the green. Can you say, verbalize the green with me? You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will, next, seek me. And when you search for me, in how, all these different things we just say, in what way? How do we call? How do we go? How do we pray? How do we seek? How do we search? With all your heart. So when you think about, it was in a very negative place, 70 years of captivity. Think about being taken away from your homeland for 70 years and generation, your family, all taken. Can you imagine that for a moment? So when you think about what's happening around the world, there's a lot of negatives. Wars and rumors of wars, and we talked about all of that last week. I don't want to repeat all of those things. But what is God, if I'm asking, what is God looking for right now? He's looking for people who will come to Him with all of their hearts. You say amen? Well, the Bible says, that I said last week, when things are happening around the nations of the world, when you see judgments and wars and all these kind of things, it says, when you see that, know that I am the Lord. So what God is looking right now, when we see all of this, wars and captivity and all these things, think about all this idea. God is looking to bring His people back to a place where they will call, pray, seek, and search Him with all of their hearts. Amen? So whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Russia, whether it's America, whether it's Australia, God is looking for people who will search Him with all of their hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Let me read a few verses here. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to," verbalize the greens, "though, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And you say amen? So we've got to fear, walk, love, serve with all of our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now let's keep reading this. And his words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. When you shall bind them in as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Let me ask a quick question here. How do we know that we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and that we're fulfilling this commandment that the Lord God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength? All right? I believe the answer is in the following verses that we've read. He says this, if you keep these things in your heart, keep this commandment in your heart. Which commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Are you with me so far? And you do what? You teach them diligently to your children. You would talk about it. When? When you sit. Say with me, when you sit. When you walk. When you lie. Okay. So when you sit, where are we? When we're sitting down, having a meal, talking, I don't know, spending time together. When we're walking, I think now we have passed walking and we're driving. So maybe you can say, when I'm driving. Yeah, I don't know. I think we drive more than we walk. That's my story anyway. Even though, like I said last week, it should be the other way around with the price of petrol going up. But yeah, can you see that the real, you know, to love the Lord our God is to constantly keep this commandment in our hearts and to continuously talk about this when we lie down, when we go on our bed, when we awake, when we're sitting down, and when we're going about. Can you say amen? Is that practical? Talk about him. Talk. Our children, what are we talking about? Is politics the main thing of our conversation? What is the essence of our conversation? Is God in what we're in the midst of our conversation? Deuteronomy 13, verse 3. You shall not listen to the words that the prophet or that the dreamer or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Don't listen to false prophets. All right? Because the Lord is seeing to see whether we love him with all of our heart. Psalms 119, verse 10. We're just reading a lot of verses here. Verse 2, Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you, or let me not wander from your commandments. So you will notice here there's something important about his testimonies, his commandments, his law, his word, all right? Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. So we got to seek him with a whole heart. Observe his commandments with the whole heart, his law. Cry out to him with the whole heart. Are we wholehearted, or is there a lot of holes in our hearts? Not in yours? Amen. God has given us a new heart. And when we say holiness, we have given ourselves wholly to him. Not just a little bit, not partly, not sometimes, not when I feel like it, but wholly. And that's the challenge we all face. That's the real challenge that we have to, it's a daily thing where, Lord, I just submit everything that is. Because every day we're going to face another circumstance, another situation is going to come up. If it's not this war, then it's going to be none of that. If it's not this circumstance that happened, if it's not that, something else is going to come up. But in all these things, I got to give my whole heart to seek, to be diligent, to seek him, right? So when you talk about holiness and practical holiness, you're talking about holy, H-W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. Now I want to be a bit more practical now. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when we talk about practical holiness, when we do things, is it whole? H-W-H-O-L-L-Y. Or when we do things, Has it got a lot of holes in there? H-O-L-E. Okay? I think we're going to come out of this room today with a whole confusion. Okay. All right. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. So then you should ask, okay, is my life whole? When I do things, is it whole? Or do I leave things unfinished? Or I don't do things properly? See, because that is an expression, part of our expression of being holy, to be complete, to be holy. Okay, so think about it. What we do for God, how we serve God. You know, maybe you're given a task or duty in the church and things like that. Or even at home with family. How do we do things? Are we half-hearted or are we wholehearted when we do it? Is it complete or is it half done or is it undone? Holiness. So when people look at us, we want them to see this expression of holiness by being wholesome in how we talk, in how we live and what we do. And by no means saying I am there, I'm just saying that, you know, that is our heart's desire, to be whole before Him. Can you say amen? Say with me, wholehearted. Am I wholehearted for the things of the Spirit? Am I wholehearted for God? Am I all given for God? Am I practical in my living, or am I just holy in a spiritual sense, but practically I'm not really living a holy life? Holiness. God is complete. God calls us to be complete. He says, be perfect for I am perfect. Be complete. Be mature. Rise up to holiness. Amen? Number two, single-hearted. This practical holiness is to be single-hearted. Again, when we are separated from sin, we are wholly given ourselves to God and God alone, not God and others. Single-heartedness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to 3 says this, for I am the commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. This starts, it begins with this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. In fact, the Bible talks about, I am the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. There's no one besides God. He is the one and only. And that's the real challenge, is I know we all say we love God, but to really say that we are single-hearted all the time. Are there things that comes in the way? Do we want certain things more than God? Is there anything we're pursuing? Not to say that we don't need other things. I'm just saying, is are we all out for Jesus this morning? Or are we more like Jesus plus a lot of things on the side? Is Jesus the side dishes or the main dish? Yeah? All right. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and Him only you shall serve. Say with me, only. Amen? Only. He's to be our only one. You know, there are many things in life we want. They are not bad. But the danger is when these things becomes more important than knowing that God is our everything. And so constantly every day, we got to remind ourselves, Lord, you are my all in all. You are my everything. Say to the Lord, you are my desire. Because other times, many things can become our desire without us knowing, without sometimes us realizing that we have come to be fond of something and we don't realize that that has become more precious than God Himself. It could be a noble thing. It could be ministry. It could be serving God. It could be something, whatever. It could be something good. So don't lose. Let us not lose that focus. Psalm 73, verse 25 to 26. Read it together with me. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. Say this with me, there's none but you, Lord. None that I desire but you. You are my strength. You are my portion. forever. Amen. Amen. Are you following me so far? So far, number one, wholehearted. Number two, single-hearted. My single-hearted. My all-out for Jesus, for God, and God alone. It's a real challenge. Especially in days of contrast that we're living in. So easy to be swayed by so many things. Let's stay on course. And I think that the best thing to do is to constantly remind ourselves and to continuously say these things to God. Lord, you are my desire. Lord, you are the lifter of my head. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my everything. Lord, you are my all in all. You are my portion. You are my inheritance. Amen? Amen. So use the Psalms. That's my encouragement, you know, to be practical about it. You say that constantly to the Lord to remind ourselves, Lord, you're the one and only one. Book of Revelation talks about how we have left the first love. He used to be the first one. Amen. Last one, number three, loyal hearted. To be holy is to be loyal to the very end. Loyal hearted. It's complete. It's not just starting and not ending. It's just completely given. It lasts to the end. Can you say amen? I'll read this verse, and I know I've done this before, but I think I'll finish it off with 2 Chronicles 16. And the verse that I'm sure you can probably guess already what it is, but it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And notice how God is looking. He wants to show himself strong on our behalf. But he says, whose heart is loyal. A loyal heart. A loyal heart is one that's, in other words, faithful. Faithful to the very end. So it doesn't just start. It doesn't just go for a little bit. It continues right to the end because we are completely separated, completely given to him. In that story, let me conclude a little bit and give you the context of that story. That story is talking about a king called Asa. Say with me, King Asa. He started really well, and cut a long story short, God was with him. He sought the Bible says he sought the Lord, and even the people together with him, they sought the Lord, and God blessed him. But in the course of time, he started to trust in other nations, and he also trusted doctors more than God himself. And because of that, you know, he suffered. You know, his feet, he had the disease in his feet and all of that. But it is in the context of that that the verse follows here in verse 9. After this king would tell about his life and how he trusted the Lord, he learned how to sought to follow God and how to seek God. But then towards the end of his life, he started to sway a little bit and his eyes started to look to other sources, other alternatives, other ways. And that wasn't good. But God then says this, and then that's where the verse comes. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord, they're running to and fro whose hearts are loyal." Not just loyal for a bit, loyal to the very end. Loyal hearted. So to be completely given to God this morning, we're talking about holiness, is to be faithful to the very end. In other words, start well, continue well, and finish well. Continue this walk with God. Holy, to be complete, to be whole, to be separated for his purpose. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, that's all I have to share this morning. Amen. Praise God. Che, I'm happy with my time. I've been saying to myself, wow, I don't realize. It doesn't feel long for me, but then when I upload the message, oh, wow, that was 50 minutes. Che, you know. Anyway, so so I've been really trying to say, Lord, I don't want to be long-winded. I want to get the message straight. Help me, Lord. Let me try and get it within half an hour as much as I can. So I think I kind of fulfilled that this morning. But here, I hope that we get the sense. Okay, say with me, be holy,
be holy.
And be holy. We don't want to just talk about holiness and the image of Christ from a very distant spiritual side. We want it to be practical, tangible, people that people actually see. People actually, every day we meet with people and that's what they see. And if we talk about God and we talk about our faith, and if they can't see this holiness of which we are called to be holy, we're called to be separate, we're called to be different, we're not called to be common. And so may God give us the grace this morning. And it could be in the small things that we do. It could be habits and all everything with it, you know, how we do our things at home, how we manage our homes, how we manage our work, how we manage our everything that we do, you know. God help us to be whole. How do we handle all our relationships? Is it wholesome? So let's rise to our feet this morning. I hope that this works in our hearts because we want to grow to this purity and greater maturity, increased fruitfulness. If I can get musicians and worship team, I want to sing this song. And let us commit ourselves to the Lord. My encouragement to everyone is to constantly talk to God and remind ourselves and continuously, you know, notice how the Bible, if you look at the Bible, it oftentimes says, remember, remember. For example, Holy Communion, do this in remembrance of me. We are people who forget very easily. And we forget very easily. So we got to continuously speak those things. Like I think Psalms, I think it was Psalm 73 today. Like that one, for example, is a very good one. And there are many, many other passages. And that's for you to, you know, go and discover as you search the scriptures. But talk to the Lord. Say to God, you know, declare who He is. Lord, this morning I want to say that You are holy. And You call us to be holy as You are holy. We don't want to be holy just in an intellectual way this morning. But Holy Spirit, You give us the grace to be completely, entirely, fully surrendered and given to You. All of us, Lord, take everything of us. Absolutely, completely, in Jesus' name. Lord, the things that we do in our lives, help us to be complete, to be whole, to be wholesome.